Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Finally today, we want to turn to a member of the Massachusetts delegation. Congresswoman Catherine Clark is on the line from Washington. She represents the state's 5th congressional district. Congresswoman, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Oh, thank you, Callum. It's good to be with you.
Good to have you. Tonight, of course, is the president's 3rd State of the Union address, and we do want to talk about that in a moment. But I have to ask you about what's been going on in Iowa for the last 24 hours. You're the vice chair of the House Democratic Caucus, a leadership position within your party. Is this a fluke in Iowa, Congresswoman, or does this highlight a real problem within your party?
Well, we certainly hope that it is a one-time event, but it is very frustrating and very concerning. And I truly feel for the candidates and their supporters and the caucus goers who have been working towards this tally for over a year. And now we just simply don't have any accurate information. But I can tell you this. I have endorsed Elizabeth Warren. I have been up in New Hampshire numerous times. And one thing that I know is that Democrats are excited. They are committed. And those who, like the caucus goers in Iowa and the first in the nation primary voters in New Hampshire, are taking these decisions very seriously because they are very to defeating Donald Trump in November.
Congresswoman, are you confident that the Iowa tally, when we get it, will be accurate? We've heard some of the campaigns questioning the integrity of the vote, and of course, that could be politically advantageous for everybody except the winner. So if you are confident, I mean, will you and other party leaders tell the losing candidates to, hey, you know, recognize these results as legit?
I think we don't know the answer to that yet. What we need to see is the information, have a better understanding of what went wrong in order to be able to assess how good the data is. I am a little concerned that they're planning on releasing partial data later this afternoon. Let's wait until we are absolutely confident. That is the only fair and responsible thing to do because so much is on the line for these different campaigns, especially with New Hampshire being only a week away.
All right, I do want to ask you about the State of the Union tonight. WBUR and NPR will have special coverage beginning at 9. The speech, of course, will take place in the House chamber. On the eve of the Senate vote on the president's impeachment, what are you expecting from President Trump tonight?
Well, I have learned to always set low expectations from what we will hear from the president as far as an inclusive vision that is putting Americans first. But what I hope to hear is that he is going to explain to the American people how it helps their access to health care to not be addressing the high cost of prescription drugs, to be in court working to take away protections for people with pre-existing conditions. I hope he'll explain his new regulations that threaten clean air and clean water, how he is not addressing climate change, and his proposals to impact Medicaid healthcare access for children and low-income seniors. These are the questions that the House Democrats have been working on. We have passed over 400 bills, the vast majority of which are sitting on Mitch McConnell's desk. And the president needs to explain his broken promises to the American people tonight.
Congresswoman Clark, as you were joining us, we were just seeing news that your colleague in the House, Ayanna Pressley, plans to boycott tonight's address. In a statement, she says, quote, "The State of the Union is hurting because of the occupant of the White House." And she adds, "I cannot in good conscience attend tonight's sham." How do you feel about that, Congresswoman? I suppose I should ask by asking whether you'll be in the House and why did you decide to go?
I will be in the House, but I certainly honor and respect Congresswoman Pressley's decision. I know exactly how she feels. It was the reason I did not go to the president's inaugural festivities, because I felt that I did not want anyone to associate me with that president when he was already in such violation of the principles and the norms of the White House and the presidency. But I will be attending tonight in large part because of my guest to the State of the Union, who is Rowena Chu, who is a survivor of Harvey Weinstein. She was a 24-year-old assistant when she was assaulted by him and has really had decades of her life managed by a non-disclosure agreement and the toll that that has taken on her personally. And the story that she has now come out with to encourage other survivors to work with other women, especially young women of color who often don't have a voice when they are subjected to harassment and assault, is one that I greatly admire. And she is here advocating for my bill called the Be Heard Act, which is going to rewrite our federal laws to make sure that we can level the playing field so that everyone has the right to a safe and respectful workplace.
Well, let me ask you a little bit about Rowena Chu, who you mentioned a moment ago. I know that she's a Harvey Weinstein accuser, but I wonder if you're also sending a message to the president, who's certainly dealt with his own share of accusations of sexual misconduct.
Well, part of our reason for being here is to remind the president that we're not going away. And, you know, the president has very much been on trial in the past week for his actions, where he has forgotten who he works for. And there is a parallel with the trial of Harvey Weinstein. And he is also on trial for his actions. And we are here to say that we are not going away. We are going to take the lessons of the Me Too movement. We are going to take the stories of brave survivors like Rowena, and we're going to change our federal laws to make sure that their voices will be heard and that we change the culture by changing the legal tools that survivors have available to them and make it so that workplaces protect them and not those who wish them harm and assault them and harass them in their places of work.
I'll just add, as I mentioned, that the president has faced many accusations of sexual misconduct. He has denied those claims broadly. He also has not been convicted of any crimes related to those accusations. And I guess you could say, Congresswoman, that we see a parallel perhaps in his impeachment trial accusations, but it appears that he will almost certainly be acquitted by the Republican-led Senate tomorrow. I recall that you took a measured approach to impeachment, resisting when some of your colleagues were calling for impeachment, even before we saw the Mueller report. So do you think the party ultimately made the right move to press forward, or was this kind of a waste of time?
It's never a waste of time to pursue the truth, to follow our Constitution, and uphold those pillars of democracy. What the president has done, and the facts are uncontested, is put his own political interests ahead of the interests of the American people. And this year, of all years, we need to be protecting that right to vote and make sure that when every voter goes into the ballot, that they alone are the ones who make that choice and that it's free from interference from foreign governments, from misinformation and propaganda, and from voter suppression. Those are the values and ideals, the foundation of our democracy that has been on trial. And it is a dangerous path that the Senate appears to be on.